hi to all you glorious fable babies, and welcome back to the greatest podcast in the world, Storytime. I'm your host, Will Dadbod McFadden, and I usually take it upon myself to dive into the flaming trash can of all the internets and burst forth to the surface after locating the best stories on the internet. But today is a little different because I've already got the stories. No swimming, no dumpster diving, no scouring the wasteland, because we are going to be revisiting some of my favorite and greatest tales from previous episodes. And I've also got a little surprise for you, or maybe, should I say, a big and lumbering surprise for you, if you catch my drift. My drift is actually a bit of a drifter. A guest star from a previous episode. And it's a surprise not only for you guys, but also for him, because he has no idea that I'm stopping by. And look, I don't want to give it away just yet, but here's a hint. His favorite Beatles song is probably I Wanna Hold Your Hands. And I bet he loves Alanis Morissette's song, One Hand's in My Pocket. Any guesses? Okay, I'm still not going to tell you, but he's going to be joining us after this classic Reddit story from Season 1, Episode 2. And I hope you got your cringe pants on, because it's about to get uncomfort-weird in here.
Stress has always gotten to me pretty easily, but the last few weeks or so have really been something else. Aside from major examinations coming up, pressure to do well for my family, and a severe lack of sleep, my wisdom teeth were also getting removed in a few days, which I was extremely anxious about. And altogether, I was having a pretty bad time coping with it all. So, being the horny teenager I am, I often find solace in my penis and its best buddy, my right hand. So, upon returning home after getting my teeth removed, in what seemed like a dream, I lay down in my living room with my family, watching TV. I dozed off a couple times, and I was generally quite disoriented. Being both high off anesthetics and tired is not a good combination. So, after waking, feeling drowsier than ever, the upcoming exams dawned on me once again, especially since I had done next to no studying at the time, and not really caring to face the problems that troubled me, I decided to reunite the dynamic duo, that being my right hand and my beloved penis, and just forget about it all. So off I went. Except I forgot one thing. I was still in the living room, in full view of my entire family. Somehow my gassed up, tired brain managed to convince me that I was not in fact sitting with my family by our TV, but was instead comfortably laying in bed, in my own room. No, I don't really understand how or why it happened a few seconds in, and I began to notice the puzzled eyes that curiously seemed to be looking right at me, with expressions that transitioned from shock at my brazen meat smashing to anger and outrage, accompanied by a little intense giggling. I snapped out of it, of course, realizing the insanity of my actions, and beheld the pure, unfiltered embarrassment I had put myself in. I'm not going to talk about what happened next, as I don't want to relive the next few moments, but my father is just disappointed. He hasn't talked to me much recently, and the long, awkward silences on the drives home are not too pleasant. My mother believes that we should embrace my sexuality and is potentially setting up a group therapy session as I write this. Now, here I am, just studying my ass off, poring through books. It's a good excuse to be alone. I find myself hoping that none of it really happened, that maybe I was just dreaming while I was gassed up. But it did happen. And boy, does life suck right now.
Okay, so anybody got any guesses of who our mystery guest star is? Let's hear them. Just shout them at your radio or your cell phone or whatever you're listening to this podcast on. Just shout them, okay? Huh? What was that? The guy with the shampoo bottle stuck up his butt from season 2, episode 1? Nope. What? Oh, no. Percy, the truck driver who wanted to kidnap me but couldn't stand my love of the musical Cats, so he abandoned me in the desert in season 1, episode 4? Close. Nope. It's actually everyone's favorite grumbling, lumbering cannibal from season 1, episode 3, Hans. Hello, Hans. Hans, open up. It's Will. Come on, open the door. Hi, Hans. It's me.
Who?
Your friend from the cabin, in Iowa. Will, the one you accidentally hit over the head. And I woke up and you were making goulash and you accidentally poured salt and marinade all over my naked body while I was sleeping. And then we played that very spirited game of tag in the woods before stumbling upon that diner and deciding to eat hash browns and share a milkshake. You went on a couple of dates with my mom.
Oh, yeah, I remember with a boy.
I know. Surprise.
No.
Oh, Hans, always such a jokester. So, how have you been?
No.
Great. Okay, listen. Let's get into our next story from season 1, episode 8, told by my favorite family on the internet, the McFarlands, while Hans and I catch up and slip into something more comfortable.
We're going to tell you the story of how we almost made it to Family Feud.
Almost is the key word there.
Dad?
It was my fault.
It was that
100% Dad's fault. But we'll get into it.
We're gonna go right into this story, tell you, how we ended up here. And, starting off, we think we'd be a good family for Family Feud.
We were, and I sent an email. Yeah, we were a good choice. Didn't make it.
Okay, so Mom was actually the one who discovered that Family Feud was going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we're born and raised, still live. She heard it on the radio, and she was like, you know what? Let's do it. She told us, and we said, hell yeah, let's do it.
Mom submitted a bio for us and everything. She wrote it up. Beautiful, sweet, sweet little mom bio.
Sweet mom bio.
Well, then they sent us back an invitation and a spot. So we all got super excited to go. Mom is coming down.
That's Mom always does that little voice. But so we were actually pretty excited. We thought, this is a cakewalk. We're nuts. We can just walk right in here and just be, ourselves.
Yeah, and just to set the scene for everyone listening right now, it's not like we're in a studio in LA. This is a little convention center in downtown Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. So we pull up to the convention center where they have the fair, the Kentucky State Fair.
It's where they have the tractor pole.
where they have the tractor. And we literally get so dressed up. I don't know why we got so dressed up. We're going to Family Feud. We know the type of questions they ask. We're going to get in our church clothes and go down here in our little suits.
I thought Steve Harvey would be there. Yeah, we were dressing to impress Steve, for sure.
We thought Steve would be there. He was not, sadly enough. So we go park in the parking garage, and we're just waiting in line for about 45 minutes. We got spotted in line by one of the Family Feud workers. They came up to us and said, you know what? We see you guys having fun. They wrote our names down. What else did they do, Mom?
They definitely stopped and they paid attention and they said, come in because you guys are going to be in this room.
And this is 7 years ago, so this is a while ago.
We should have gotten to that earlier, but yes, this was 7 years ago. So we're right in line. We finally get to the room. There's 500 people in this room.
Yeah, 500 people in one room, and then there was a separate room with 500 more people. But
I didn't know there was this many people in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And they all want to be on Family Feud. So yeah,
we were confused how they all found out about it. There's so many people in this room, but we barely found out about it, so how did all these people get the memo?
So here we are, watching all these mock trial runs of a Family Feud round. Steve Harvey's not there. It's some fraud. I'm not. It's not a fraud. Okay, it's just like a makeshift Steve Harvey. They're up there.
They're stand-in.
They're a stand-in.
It's just like a lady in like sweatpants.
So like they're just trying to get their day over with. Like this is just their job, to go interview a bunch of random families. Okay, and we are one of those random families. But we waited our turn. We finally get the McFarlanes. Come on down. So we run up there, all excited, like we're on the real show. Already practiced our lines and everything. Woohoo! McFarlane! And we get up there, and yeah, it's just like tables. It's just like the picnic tables, the plastic picnic tables. They just fold out, and there's no buzzers, no nothing. So they ask you questions, and all you're supposed to do is just slap the table. And I guess the lady is just like, you know what? Okay, you slapped it first. It's literally just like a grade school game. In front of hundreds of people. So we're playing another family. It's like the Johnsons or something. Like, come on, we got to be better than the Johnsons, right? That's what we were thinking the whole time we were watching all these mock runs. Like, we're better than this. We can nail some answers.
Oh, yeah.
So, first question. Here we go. We're going right for it. The question is, name something that only comes out at night. And I mean, Dad's hand slapped that table so fast. She didn't even finish the question. And Dad slapped that table. I'm going to see if I can get the audio here. It's almost like this.
Like it owed him money.
Like it owed him money. And what did you say, Dad?
Moths.
My man said moths.
And like, they said, did you say moths?
Yes!
He said moths like it was 100% correct.
And we're supposed to all go, good answer, good answer.
And I mean, heard crickets.
That's what we did all yell good answer. We're the only ones in the room yelling good answer because it's just our family. But he's not wrong. Moths do come out at night, but it wasn't on the list. So, pass to the other family. They nail it. They're just crushing it with like vampires, the moon. Everyone's like, wow, these people are smart. McFarlanes are not. Are not, especially that dad. Jeez. So, next question. Here we go. Classic Family Feud style question. You know, where they get a little... They want you to say the raunchy answer.
It's entrapment.
Entrapment. They really do. Steve, what are you doing there? Like, come on. But, question is, name something that everyone knows the size of on their body. Okay? Like... It is a little bit of entrapment. Like, of course you're going to say some weird stuff at that one. And so Dad got the first one wrong. Mom slaps it. She gets this. And she says, like, just a genius answer. What do you say, Mom?
Your shirt size.
She says, your shirt size. It's right.
Yeah.
It's right.
Ding, ding, ding.
So
we'll play. We'll play.
Yeah. We'll play, Steve. We'll play. Steve. Great answer. Question gets passed to Mitch. He's next in line. He's the oldest brother. So Mitch says...
Said your waistline.
Everyone knows that.
Great answer, Mitch. So he's right too. He's right. All right, we're on a roll here. We're feeling pretty hot right now. Let's go, McFarlanes.
Oh boy.
And it comes to Dylan, and I'm gonna let Dylan just tell you what happened. Oh my god.
It comes down the line to eighth grade Dylan, who's thinking, Mom said shirt size, Mitch said waist size, so all the good answers are taken. What do I say? I don't know any other measurements. So eighth grade Dill says, your wiener. Your wiener. In this room of 500 people in the Kentucky Convention Center erupts.
It's electric. The room is electric. Oh, the people are roaring. Like this curly-haired little eighth-grade kid just said, your wiener
in a suit.
In a little suit. Looks like he just got done with church, and now he's over here shouting wiener in front of a room full of people.
And I still remember, I'll never forget this, a guy in the very front row was sitting next to his wife, and he looked at me and he pointed and said, you are the man.
You're the man. Family Feud. Oh, man. Our finest hour. So, jeez.
Great answer.
Right, yeah. Honestly, so I don't even know if that answer was right. I think they just gave it to him because everyone laughed. It was just a funny answer. So, like, you know what? Let's see what else. Like, what's the last kid got to say? So, it comes to me, Colin. And, God, I mean, my head's in the gutter now because Dylan just said wiener. What am I supposed to say? I could have said shoe size because that also would have been right. But, oh, man. I said... your cup size.
Oh, and he did the hand motions
and
too.
I had to make the hand motion like over my breasts because I didn't want people to think I meant like jock strap cup. Like,
did you have to honk them though?
I didn't honk them. I did not honk them. I didn't want people to think I was talking about an athletic cup. Okay. So everyone's like, McFarlane's are weird. That's a fact.
These are my guys.
Yeah. Mom, they're like,
and
they're
the parents are yelling, good answer, good answer.
Yeah. At this point, Dad's face is just beet red. And stand-in Steve is just like, what is going on?
Goodness. So we finish our round. You know, we get some high fives going back to our seats. And then after the fact, you know, we get pulled to the back. And they want us to do a mock videotaped interview.
Yeah.
Where the whole family just introduces themselves. And it's like, I guess it's what they're going to show to the Family Feud team. Yeah. We got, so it's like almost like the final interview before you really get on the show. Boy, oh boy, we should not have stepped foot in this room because this is where we blew it. And I mean, it's more specifically where Dad blew it.
I saw a big camera with a lot of lights and microphones, and I froze.
Dad did freeze. So
freeze. He went into straight panic mode.
You wouldn't think it, but he's been on the camera quite for the last couple years on TikTok, Instagram, everything. I mean, we make some videos now. But starting off, you put a camera in this guy's face, it's like he short circuits, like he just dumped water on a MacBook or something.
So what was the question, Kyle?
Question was, literally, it wasn't even a question. It was just like, hey, Dan, like you're the patriarch of the family. Tell us like your name and then a little bit about yourself. Introduce your family. Literally it. All you had to say was like, I'm Dan from Louisville, Kentucky.
Just had to introduce yourself. That's all you had to do.
And my family.
And my family. Here's my three boys. We're so happy to be here. Literally.
That's all you could have said.
That's supposed to be it. And okay, so Dad, when he freaks out on camera and he like people ask him a question, he just rambles. Like rambles so hard.
He goes off the rails.
Off the rails is an understatement. So yeah. He starts giving his life story saying, oh, my name's Dan McFarland. I'm from Lima, Ohio, originally. Me and my wife, we met when we were in grade school. And hitting the saw.
Kindergarten teacher was Miss Crabtree.
Do it. Mitch does
literally,
it good.
You literally rambled on your entire life story. I got hit in the head with a softball when I was in fifth grade.
No,
and then it made
I did
me so goofy.
Not.
And then,
in the middle of him rambling, you can just see him start to think, how am I going to get out of this? Like,
and you kept going and going and
Mitch,
going.
You and I were on the end, and Colin and Dylan were in the middle, and you or I would have kicked him, but neither one of them did anything.
But we're all just sitting there staring at Dad. Just
and he
looking
knows
down the, line.
Down the line, everybody's eyeballing him. He's like, how am I going to end this?
He was in too deep to get himself out. He really was. So, oh man, we almost had it. We really almost had it. Dylan said wiener, 500 people were watching him. They were laughing. You know, we were really killing it. We were gonna be on Family Feud if we could just say, I'm Dan McFarland and here's my sons and my beautiful wife. Literally it! We would have been on the show!
Redemption. Yeah, I mean, I think the moral of the story is your wiener will get you to the back room, but don't let your dad find out about it.
That's so weird. Like, we're still being weird and yeah. For more people to hear. We need to chill out.
We still need to get on Family Feud. Yeah.
We do. We will hopefully one day we'll get our redemption and we'll be able to get on Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
Did I apologize to the family?
Did we
I'm
ever,
sorry.
Can you apologize?
Did we tease you about it endlessly?
Oh yeah.
Can we get a formal apology from you for that?
Right now.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm cured. Dad's. He's sorry.
I am sorry.
He's still haunted. Dad, you're still haunted by this story.
Oh man, it's okay. We love telling the story to our family and friends just so that they can make fun of us too. We hope you enjoyed it because, I mean, as soon as we left that room. You know, we were pretty embarrassed, but we laughed so hard.
All the way home. It was so funny.
We seriously cried laughing in that car ride home. Moral of the story, just go out there and do some fun stuff with your family. You know what? Create some memories. Hey, it's story time. You got to make some stories somehow, right? I mean,
that's right.
That's right. Oh, man. So, I guess thanks for listening to our story. We're the McFarlanes just sitting around our dining room table right now, kind of just goofing. Love you guys.
Love you.
Give me a kiss, Will.
Handsome Will.
We love you, Will. We love story time. If you're not listening to story time, get with the program. Turn it on. I don't even know.
Got to make stories to tell stories.
God, that's right. Love you. Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
That's a good line.
Welcome back. So Hans and I have jogged our memories, and let me tell you, he is so excited to be back on the podcast.
Food.
You're hungry?
Mm.
Okay. I mean, I didn't bring anything, but I guess we could, you know, order something from FoodTube.
FoodTube.
Yeah, sure. What do you want?
Fingers.
Oh, chicken fingers. That sounds good. Yeah, let me see if they have those.
Fingers.
Yes, chicken
fingers. No.
You don't want chicken.
Fingers.
Chicken fingers.
Fingers.
Yes, chicken.
No.
What?
Huh?
Fried chicken?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go figure.
Finger?
What? No. Figure, not finger, figure. I'm going to go figure out some food that that is not fingers, and then we'll be back after we hear this terrible Tinder date from Drea Knows Best from our very first episode. Fingers.
I met this guy online. His name was... I'm not going to give you a real name. Let's make up a name. His name was Sean. Let's make up a name called Sean. Sean sounds like a good guy's name. So I was swiping through and I saw Sean. Let me describe how Sean looks like so y'all can really like visualize it as I'm talking. So Sean was this fine chocolate looking man. He was tall, 6'3", and y'all know I'm 6'2", so when I saw 6'3", I said, catch up to me. I swipe right and we matched. So within like the first 3 days of talking, we're vibing, chatting consistently, and I'm like, this guy is really cool. I'm really vibing with this guy. Like, I would love to finally like see him in person. And guess what? Sean was interested too. Hit me up, he was like, what day are you free? I would love to take you out. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. A man that knows what he wants. I kid you not, when you're online, when you're dating period, or like talking with a guy, it takes some guys just take forever to ask you out, and it's like,
can you hurry up?
When it comes to picking out anything, I'm very indecisive. So Sean did really good by, you know, giving me two options of where we want to go to. Would you like for me to take you to like the spend the evening at the beach? We will be able to like get there in evening time and just right in time to watch a sunset in Venice. It looks really, really beautiful. Or would you rather us, you know, go up to the hill and be able to watch the sunset and overlook the city, and it's very, very beautiful. So here's the thing with those two options, right? He gave me the option of the beach and the overlooking the city. Now, the problem with the beach is that it was winter time, honey. My body was not hot girl summer ready. My body was, I was about to be out there showing these rolls on our first date.
No.
So obviously I picked overlook the city. Plus, I mean, LA is really pretty. And I like the sound of just like, you know, the sun is about to set, you're looking at the view, you know, you and him are together, and it's like, it just sounds very romantic. So I'm like, all right, let's do that. Romantic and safe, love it. Right before he picked me up, I had to make sure I look cute. You know, I put on my makeup, I look real cute. Not too much makeup, just enough to look poppin'. I had a really nice green sundress on and sandals because, you know, we about to go look at the sunset. So he comes to pick me up. He looks really good, he smells really good, and I'm just like, wow. Thank God he didn't look like a completely different person than your picture, because that would have been trash from the start. So before he started driving, he did something weird. He decided to take off his shoes. And what was weird about it, that he wasn't wearing any socks. His toes looked crusty. But that wasn't even the point. I mean, first of all, if I had crusty toes, I would not even show it on a date. But I mean, it's all good. It's all good, you know. It was fine. I asked him, like, why you take off your shoes? He was like,
I just don't like to drive with shoes on, no.
Okay, I guess you're just taking it literally when they say put your foot on the pedal. He's like, literally, my feet on the pedal. Got it. Not judging. I'm not a judgmental person. We're going. And then we get to the location, finally. So when we get there, I was a little confused. You know, I was a little confused. Why I was confused is because it didn't look, I wasn't seeing the city. I was still, we were still flat on the ground. And I was like, where's the view? He's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna get there. The view is right up there. I turn and I look, y'all. Tell me why homeboy has brought me to a hiking spot. We had to hike all the way up the hill just to get to the city overlooking location to look at the view. When I tell you, I was like confused. Wait, what do you mean? He's like,
Yeah, we gotta walk all the way up there, you know what I'm saying? So, are you ready?
Yeah, sure. So we start. At first I'm like, maybe it's not that bad. That's why, you know, maybe it's like there's a shortcut, you know? That's why he's like, oh, we gotta walk that way. Maybe it's a shortcut or like the little escalator that's gonna take us up. Child, we go. I see people in like jogging clothes and everything and like hiking shoes. Oh, people are actually out here working out. Please God, let there be a shortcut. Let there be a shortcut. Remember guys, I worked out this morning, so my body's already sore. And then we gotta climb the hill. Let me be positive. Maybe this is actually a really cute walk. You know, as you're walking, you're gonna see like some, you know, music playing or something. There's some cute stuff. Let's see. We start going. He's moving fast. So he's like, one step. I'm like, one step. Like literally, it was a struggle. And then we're walking. First, we're going the same pace, right? And then we're walking and talking. So I'm trying to be casual. I'm trying not to think too hard about how much this hurts my legs. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, you know. I'm like, oh yeah, so do you like working out? He's like, yeah, I work out every now and then, you know, and everything. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then he starts like, I realize that he's getting faster and I'm slowing down. So what is going, why are we not the same speed? He's walking, looks back and he's like, oh, he waits. And I catch up, I'm like, huh, sorry. He's like, oh, no, it's cool. Anyways, we keep on chatting. And he keeps on going, like his legs are long too. So he's like, boom. My legs are long, but my legs are sore. 5 minutes into the walk, we haven't even gotten anywhere close to the up to the view. Like you can still tell we still have a long way to go. I'm like, blood of Jesus. If he does not, what are we doing? Where is the shortcut? Why didn't we just drive to the top? He looks back and he's like, yo,
you taking too much time. I'm gonna meet you at the top.
You gonna meet me at the where? At the what? At the bop? At the rop? At the you better stop? At the where? At the top? Guys, I kid you not, homeboy left me. He left me. Oh gosh. Y'all, the trauma is coming back. No, I'm not crying, no. Because he's trash for this. He literally is trash. He left me. He just literally went up the stairs. A real man would have carried me up the stairs. That's what a real man would have done. He would have carried me, but that man was not a real man. I was so shook. I was like, what the heck? So we get to the top. Homeboy had the audacity. Finally, I get to the top, right? And let me say, he got to the top way sooner than I did. I get to the top. I'm looking at the view. Like, this view is not even worth it. I've gone back again to this Culver City Stairs view, and I'm like, it's beautiful. But at that moment, I was so mad, and I'm like, this view was not worth it. Homeboy, you left me. I did not snap at him. I still smiled, and I was like, ha, 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 ha. You know, I worked out this morning. That's why I was so slow. Ha, ha, ha. He's like, oh, it's fine. I got something for us. He pulls out of his bag a bottle of wine and two red cups. What you want me to do with the wine? The way I pictured this date was, we were gonna drive up, we'll park the car, we'll get a blanket, lay it on the floor, sit down together. He probably has like a little sandwich pack for us to eat, cause God knows I was hungry at that moment too, cause I haven't eaten dinner yet. I thought he would have dinner ready, or like a snack or something for us, right? Sit down there, you know, lay down talking with one another, just chatting, you know, looking at the view, sipping our wine together. We got to the top, we were just standing there. There was hella people all around, families with their dogs. It was just crowded with people. It wasn't anything private, it wasn't anything intimate. It was just like, it was mad wet. And he left me. I was just like, that was like the biggest joke. And then he like poured the wine in the cup, and it was this cheap, like $6 wine. But it was the type of wine, that red wine that stains your lips. So it was cheap wine on a date that he didn't have to pay for. All he probably spent was money on gas. And he didn't feed me. I left there tired. I left there hungry. I left there upset. But I still, you know, kept it classy, y'all. I was like, yeah, thanks for the wine, you know. And he was like, yeah, this is really nice, you know, you see the view. Get this, y'all, when we're up there, the sun wasn't even setting yet. It was still like bright in the day. It was hot, I was sweating. It was literally one of the worst dates I've been on. Seriously. He still left me again going down. He didn't walk near me. I don't know why he was so excited to get up in the first place anyways, but going down, he left me still. He kept on walking and he would stop at the platform, look back, and then keep on going. You know, like a little kid when they're doing something bad, that they're funny and they keep on looking back to make sure that they're, you know, they're not gonna get smacked. And they keep on going, that was him. Childish AF. So I wasn't dressed for the occasion, so I feel like even if I did do some research to see where we're going, I would have been dressed in gym clothes, which is still incorrect. He wasn't dressed in gym clothes. He was dressed in jeans, Jordans, and like a black t-shirt. I don't know. Trash, never again.
Okay, so I think maybe Hans wasn't the best choice for the surprise guest. He's gone to the kitchen to get seasoning, I guess, but, you know, he keeps trying to hold my hand and then guide my hand up to his mouth, and I think he's confused. Like, no kink shaming here, but this is not what I want. Okay, oh, crap, he's coming back. Crap. Hey, Hans, you're back. Yay. What's that? What do you got there? Is that a baseball bat? What do you like? You want to play some sports? I like sports. I love sports. You know? Okay, you're getting a little close.
Sports.
Maybe we could go play out in the yard. You know, want to play catch? I could go home and grab my glove.
Gloves for fingers? Yum.
Yeah, glove is for fingers. That's great. Hey, buddy, maybe just take a few steps back, please.
Ow. Fingers in the morning, fingers in the evening, fingers at supper time. When fingers on a bagel, you can eat fingers anytime.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. As always, I want to give a huge shout out to our storytellers. And not only the ones from this episode, but all of the creators who've shared stories over the past two seasons. We literally couldn't do it without you. And since I've got you here, do you want to be on an episode of Storytime? If you have a great story to tell, record yourself telling your story and send it to storytime@collab.inc. Or call the Storytime hotline and leave us a message. That's right, we have a hotline now. Give us a call at 323-741-1873. I just made that up. And we'll share our favorites on an upcoming listener episode. Also, make sure to say that you're an official Fable Baby. Oh, you're still listening. Cool, cool, cool. Well, if you've gotten this deep into the episode, you might as well rate it, review it, and share it with a friend. Or an enemy. Makes no difference to me as long as I get those sweet, sweet streams. Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Collab. Executive producers Eric Jacks, Song King, and Will McFadden. Hosted by Will McFadden. Produced by Jessica Eccles, Jason Shapiro, Daniela Mora, and Jenny Ulmer. Written by Jenny Ulmer. Voice acting by Tom Szymanski. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Original score by Scott Simons. Cover art by John Kuzagaya. Animation by Bella Bouchon.